This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Derek Jeter annoyed me this weekend.
What?
We'll explain why. And also, is that game one, now that this series is over, game one against Indiana, is that going to go down as the worst loss in Knicks history? We'll get to it all coming up, plus your calls at 888-808-1019, but it is that time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, the Knicks season is over. And now to put in context, where does it lie in the last 5 years, the most disappointing ends to New York sports seasons?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The 2023 New York Rangers, who came off that conference finals trip to Tampa Bay, they led 2-0 versus the Devils. Somebody on the internet was sweeping a bar, and they did not escape the first round after blowing that lead.
I got to tell you, when you said last 5 years, my brain told me that was number one. So okay. I'm kind of surprised you put that at five. Maybe especially, I shouldn't be since you're a Ranger fan. Right,
especially given the guy who's making a list.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I mean,
you
look,
losing
it's fair.
The first round to a rival look, when you're up 2-0, bro. That is that's big D disappointment.
Okay, this is why I like doing this list. I could promise you, when we get through 5 through 1, you can make a case for all of them being number
okay.
one.
Okay,
I do believe that.
Right.
Okay,
I'm gonna write this down.
All right, here we go.
Number four
for me is actually the 2022 Mets, when you consider the regular season they had to blow it what they did with the Braves, and then, you know, you end up a wild card loser to the Padres with all those games at home.
Easily could have been number one.
Yeah, I was going to say that's number two. Like, so far, Rangers losing to Devils 1, Mets in 22 number 2. Like, I mean, so far, so good. Let's see.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
The 2024-2025 New York Knicks, because they did beat Boston in the second round. They actually were favored in the Eastern Conference Final. They collapse in that game one. And again, their story is not unfinished, but neither are these recent teams. It's all the next 5 years, but this is number three for
me. All right.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
The 2021 Nets. Kyrie. What? Gets hurt.
That's number one. The more
Harden
I think about it,
gets hurt.
Yeah,
the toe on the line from Durant.
God, I was actually not even including the Nets in this list. Forgot we existed.
Well, hey, I didn't.
Look, it's a Cinco. You know it's going to be less than 30 seconds, Evan.
Yeah,
it fits.
And you can't call me a Knicks hater if I put that one above.
No, I think it's actually number one. The more I mean, come on, they had a dynastic group of talent, and they lost at home in the seventh game to the Bucks.
I know number one is going to be controversial, but I believe it's right.
Better not be the Yankees.
Okay, here we go.
Number one
is this past year's Jets. Now, the ending, they never got to the playoffs, so this is different than the other ones. But, guys, this was the one healthy year of Aaron Rodgers they had, and I take you back to expectations. How many times do we sit here with Evan trying to talk us in, well, if they win this game, they're in the playoff hunt? The fact that this team, in their one healthy year with Aaron Rodgers and all the talent, never even got themselves truly in a playoff hunt To me, I know this is the disappointing. That is a disappointing end. Mm. You never even tasted a playoff race with Aaron Rodgers.
So it wasn't losing in the playoffs. It was just in general?
Yeah, it was disappointing ends to a season. To end that season and never once taste that you were even in a playoff hunt?
And then you know he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could talk your way into it. That's more five to me.
And you think about the hype.
It's definitely disappointing, and certainly in my fandom, it's towards the top of the list. But I think the difference is when you get close, when there's that sweet nectar. And
I agree.
I think you left out a couple of big ones, a couple of Yankee ones. Last year's Yankee one, it's not even the one that jumps out at me, Teak. They are in the World Series. We know how good the Dodgers were. They did blow game one, and they blew game five. I get that. But the one that actually jumps out at me is the 2022 New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. They're in the ALCS. They're taking on the Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah.
And the expectation is third time's a charm.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year we beat them. And they not only lose to the Astros for the third time, I guess technically fourth time if you want to include the wild card game, but they got swept.
Yeah.
Like, I think the way they lost probably puts the 2022 New York Yankees very high on this list.
The reason I did not put them in the top five, and I think it's worthy of discussion, I probably would have them at six or seven, is because I think to a man, most of us expected before game one, the Yankees were not winning that series.
Mm.
I do believe that.
Really? Is that the sense around here? Back then? I don't remember feeling that way.
Oh, I definitely felt that way because you felt like, remember, that season was padded early on.
Yeah.
Masked a lot by Judge. And I think it just that you felt it going that way where this team's not going to be good enough to get past the Astros. Now, getting swept was really disappointing, but I don't think it tops these other five, man. I really don't.
Was this the collective OPS under 500 or around 500? Was that season?
You're asking me to think analytically, Tiki, and I cannot do that on the fly.
It's one of those postseasons.
I do think that, very good list, creative. I think number one, and maybe I am biased, and maybe it's my own pain, it's the 21 Nets. Mm-hmm. They had Kevin Durant. They had Kyrie, though he got hurt. They had James Harden. They were up 2 on the Bucks after blowing them out in the first two games. They also had an incredible Game 5 victory where Kevin Durant put the entire city or franchise on his back. And they lost the seventh game in brutal fashion in the second round of the playoffs. So maybe I'm biased, but that's number one. But very good list.
Thank you. Well done.
Very well done.
Good start to the week there, F.
Yeah. Cinco de Five-O every day at 5 o'clock. I do want to remind you that every day we ask our friend Sal Licata a question. And today, I felt so good asking Sal this question because the Mets are back in first place. So we always ask Sal in a segment we like to call, Hey Sal Licata, is the NL East over? We always like to ask him, Hey Sal, is the NL East over?
Hey Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
Now I know the Eastern Conference Finals is over, but Sal, is the NL East over?
It is not over, but order has been restored in the NL East.
Oh. Ah.
Little order's been restored.
At least he answered a question about the Mets.
Well, because I don't think he wanted to talk about the Knicks anymore.
Well, he has no choice anymore.
He chose not to answer you all of last week.
Yeah, because he pivoted it to the Knicks because he could be distracted by them. But now that the Knicks are dead, he's got to go back to answering the question.
True.
So the Mets did reclaim first place in the NL East. The Phillies are struggling. They got swept by the Milwaukee Brewers. And credit to the Mets. The Mets had a very quiet but really good homestand. They won 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
They won 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. And then they took care of business and swept the Colorado Rockies. So a 7-9 homestand is a really good homestand.
Yep.
And now they're about to do the reversal because they're going 4 in L.A. beginning tonight and then 3 in Colorado over the weekend.
Hmm.
I want a split. I think a split is worthy of celebration.
In L.A. Yeah.
Because getting a split also means you win the season series. And the beauty of the season series, there are tiebreakers involved, whether it's for the number one seed in the National League, whether it's for the number two seed, which means a first round bye, or dare I say it's for a wild card
spot. And
they
currently have a better record than the Dodgers right now.
Right now,
I think they're half a game.
Yes, they're slightly better than them.
Yeah.
And they're tied with the Chicago Cubs for the best record in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
But whether it's for the one seed, the two seed, the three seed, or a wild card spot, because there's no lock, the Dodgers are winning the division. They're 2 games up on the Padres, 3 up on the Giants. Obviously, the Mets are only a game up on the Phillies. Tiebreakers matter. And last year, when I brought this up, Tommy would mock me.
Hmm.
But the reason he doesn't mock me anymore is because the Mets made the playoffs last year on a tiebreaker. So he learned his lesson, and I respect that. One thing Tommy would have said last year about tiebreakers, no biggie. This year he realizes, biggie.
I still think it's a no biggie.
Come on!
Come on, Evan.
What do you mean, come on, Evan?
It's a no biggie in this way, and this is why you're important to this. I don't think that the average person thinks about the tiebreakers.
They should.
So that's why I say it's biggie.
They should. I think you're right. The average person doesn't.
They don't.
I don't ever think about it.
But you know why they don't think about it? Because they're not thinking big picture. And I'm here to remind you, big picture matters. Like, I agree, no one thinks about it, But if I told you, hey, the difference between the Mets having to play a wild card series and not playing a wild card series is a tiebreaker, then I think we'd all agree it matters.
Oh, of course it.
So then
you're
matters.
Right. It definitely matters. But what Tommy is saying is people don't think about it as mattering.
Well, that's why I say it.
But especially in June.
That's why I say it. No, I know. No one thinks about it. That's why I'm reminding you. It's a big series.
It's because it's a lot of projection. It's all right, this team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I project to be right about the same record as ours. And 3 months from now, this series is going to matter.
No, here's the way I look at it.
But that's how I'm thinking. That's how most people look at it.
I totally
understand.
You're
looking at it differently.
When I play a National League team, okay, so it's not interleague play. It's a National League team with a team that has a chance to make the playoffs. Those games matter a little bit more. Because not only are you just trying to win games, and there's a difference in the standings if you're battling them for a wild card spot or whatnot, but tiebreakers matter. Obviously, if they were playing the Seattle Mariners right now, I wouldn't say that. Like, sure, that tiebreaker may matter for a World Series, but I'm not going that far.
Right.
I'm not breaking that down. Real quick, Tommy, I've given you an hour to think about this.
You have?
Yeah. Gave you a homework assignment.
You did?
You've been on this planet for 40 years now.
I have?
40 years.
Uh-huh.
Now that you lost to the Pacers... Is game one of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Indiana Pacers the worst loss in your Knicks fandom?
Absolutely not. No way.
Really?
Nope.
What is?
Finals to the Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
So the Starks game. Like,
that makes sense.
When you get to that level, and I don't know if I've shared this on the air, but my first team that I loved in sports was the Knicks. So obviously people think maybe I'm a bigger Met fan, but the first team I ever loved was the Knicks. And I remember that run. That was the first time I really remember sports.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that moment, like, where they lose in that fashion.
I get that.
That's the one. It's Eastern Conference Finals. Disappointing, but when you get that close and you have an opportunity to win a title, it's always going to be.
By the way, don't disagree with you. In the last 25 years, is this the worst loss in your Knicks fandom?
Yes.
Is this the worst loss in your fandom?
No.
Which one's worse?
In my fandom of sports?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. Game one, Subway Series. Subway World Series.
Subway World Series?
Yeah. That I wanted to quit.
I'd agree with you on that.
Watching sports after that.
The
I'm serious. Like, that was the only time in my life where I contemplated, what the hell am I doing watching sports? It just killed me.
There's two things. Obviously, it's the World Series versus the Conference Finals. It's the Yankees.
Right.
So you got that factor. The difference is the Mets didn't collapse in that game. They made mistakes. They blew a one-run lead in the ninth inning. That sucks. But it also happens. Timo Perez didn't run hard. It sucks. It happens. The Knicks blew a game that literally doesn't get blown. Like, it's unblowable. A 14-point lead with, like...
It never, ever has been blown.
It's never happened.
Until this year.
That's why it is on a different level in terms of horrific losses. I'm not trying to minimize the Mets losing to the Yankees or even the Mets losing to the Royals in game one of 2015. They're horrible losses, but they're also like, yeah, I've seen that before. This we've never seen before.
Right. You're right. From that perspective, as far as the historical meaning of it, because of how much time was left in the game, the lead, all of that. But if they had won the Knicks game two, it would have been a no biggie. That game with Timo, with Benitez, with O'Neal, and do I have to remind Vizcaíno, who played for the Mets?
Yeah.
And I felt like if they could get that first game, the whole series would be different because the Mets were a big underdog in that series. Plus, all the stuff in the 90s with the Yankees, that was the worst.
No, I get that. I get that. At least with the Pacers, you're annoyed you lost to them. You don't have to hear from them.
Yeah.
They're all in Indiana.
Right.
You don't have to think about that.
Right.
I would say, as an IBO, I say this. I think this is the worst loss the Knicks have ever had since the NBA Finals. I'll definitely give you that. I think it's worse than the Reggie Miller game. Yeah. The game. Yes. Worst loss. Worst individual. I think it's worse than the Reggie Miller 8 points and 8.5 seconds game. Absolutely. I think it's worse.
The game won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
no, you're right.
Worked out sort of similarly in that they ended up losing the series in seven. In this case, they lost in six. But I feel more directly like that really did change this. I think it's the worst Knicks loss in the last easily since the Finals.
Only because of how it flipped the series, how it gave them the Pacers the advantage. I don't think there was a hangover from what happened in game one. You know what I mean?
I don't think there was a hangover, but
tactically that the Indiana Pacers did that ultimately changed the way that the Knicks played the rest of the series. I don't think that was the case.
I don't think so either. I think it's more, you got to win four to advance. Mm. They won one, but it didn't count.
Yeah.
So now they had to win five. It just made the series more difficult. And so I think that, like, when you lose a game that you should win in the NBA playoffs, it just makes things more difficult. Doesn't mean it can't happen. It just makes things tough. And then also the lead. Like, that's not a game you should blow. What are you laughing at?
I was just laughing because that was my take last week that you have to win five games, and I think you loved it.
Is that where I got it from?
Yes.
Good job, Sean.
You're welcome.
You know what? Mm. As my wise friend Sean Morash says, now you got to win five instead of four.
It's tough.
I didn't mean to steal your idea. It's true.
It's a show idea. You didn't steal. I just laughed. I'm like, see, he's catching on. What I do think is also interesting.
Did you even create that, though?
I did. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's not original. The visual now, too. Remember, there was that thought at the game when make Halliburton pay for the choke. Now that choke, that is going to live on in Knicks lore forever, is Halliburton doing that.
Like, I agree.
Every time you think about it.
I do agree.
It's going to be in your face as a Knicks fan.
And I think what this should allow you to do now, Knicks fans, is no more chanting about Trae Young. It's him.
1,000%.
It's him.
Well, dude, because he's leaning into it, too. Like, Trae Young, yeah, when he's on the court, he leans into it. But Halliburton takes it to another level. The wrestling fan that he is, social media, the girlfriend chips in.
Yeah, but
he's
also,
number one now.
He also doesn't feel like a natural villain. I know he is, but he doesn't feel like
it. Yeah, it's kind of like John Cena trying to be a heel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's very similar.
He's a babyface trying to be a heel.
The other thing that's different about Tyrese is that, and we saw this in Game 1's comeback, like, yes, Tyrese hit the shot that sent the game to overtime. It was Aaron Nesmith who really performed the miracle. Like, yeah. Aaron Nesmith is the main reason why that comeback occurred. And then with the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals, Tyrese thought it was him, and it's Pascal Siakam. So Tyrese Halliburton's a really good player. Don't get anybody wrong on this, but he's not like the big evil he wants to be.
Yeah, he's not the man.
No. They've got a few men. That's what makes the Pacers so dangerous.
I wonder if he was asked about that video that's been viral now. After,
about looking like a schmuck thinking he won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and it's not him.
Yeah, it's just, I didn't notice it. And so it's just funny when you see it, knowing that he takes steps forward. Like, yeah, this is my, okay.
The hands rubbing together was so good with that. Like, so good.
I'm trying to, obviously you've never been in a situation like that, but if you had just, like in the 41-0 game, if they had announced an NFC Championship MVP and you had rushed for 200 yards and you're like, it's got to be me. But you know what? Kerry played well too. And they end up giving it to him and you're so convinced it's you. And then you find out, like, on stage, it's at, obviously you're happy you won, but would you be embarrassed or pissed off?
More embarrassed.
It would be, okay.
More embarrassed.
Can't be pissed off.
No, you can't be pissed off because you're going to these to the NBA Finals.
Right.
And it's like, dude, got another stage. Who cares? This is an individual award. It doesn't mean anything unless we don't win. And it's like, yeah, at least I won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Embarrassment is what it should be.
There also was no pause between here's the winner of the Larry Bird Trophy and like it was right to so nonchalant. Pascal Siakam, like he didn't even have his chance to build it up.
In fairness, the final vote was very close. Mm-hmm. It was not unanimously Pascal Siakam. I think 9 people voted and it was 5-4 Siakam or 4-3, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. It was a very close vote. If you ask me as an IBO, I would give it to Siakam. I think they got it right.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of the Pacers. Like, if the Knicks would have won this series, there's no question it's Jalen Brunson. If the Thunder win the NBA title, there's no question it's SGA. I think in the Pacers' case, there was actually a fair discussion on who it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Evan, you were asking me about the worst losses of my fandom or even as a Knicks fan. When we did the thing of, is this the bigger upset, you know, the Celtics, we beat them, or the Patriots mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, I know we don't are afforded this as Sports Talk Radio hosts, but sometimes you have to see the entire thing play out. And now looking back on it, it's like, if it's not the finals, it's tough. You know what I mean? Because now that they lost to the Pacers, like, what is that? Where does that now stand
a Knicks fan? It falls apart.
And I hate that.
It
sucks,
because
it was great. You know what I mean? And then if, like, Indiana beats the Thunder, which I don't think they will, although I think they'll be more competitive than others think. If the Indiana Pacers win the title, it makes it even worse, if that makes sense, because Oklahoma City was vulnerable. If they smash them, you're like, oh, okay, well.
Right.
So I forget the date I wrote down, but I have it in my calendar with this Knicks beating the Boston Celtics thing. I put a date down from a year from now where I'm going to randomly ask you guys, like, hey, what did you think of the Knicks beating the Celtics last year?
Do we remember it?
Do we remember it? How do we feel about it a year later?
I think we'll remember it. I just don't know how we'll feel about it.
Well, we'll definitely remember it. It's just a matter of what does it do for you? Mm. Like, Jets-Patriots is a great example, and it still makes me excited thinking about the Jets beating the Patriots, but it also makes me angry at the same time because I think about losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So as great as that win was, it sort of gets diminished a little bit by what happens next. I'll tell you why I'm pissed at Derek Jeter coming up, but let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Harold in the Bronx. How are you, Harold?
I'm not in the Bronx now, but I work in the Bronx.
Oh, all right. What's up?
First of all, I'm a Knicks fan. I'm the same age as Clyde, basically.
All right. Well,
so I've been following the Knicks. As a historian, which I think that you guys are terrific. First of all, I'm listening to you and Evan. As soon as you went on the air with Joe originally, and now in the current thing, you're the next big star in sports.
That's very nice of you.
You probably are already.
Thank you. It was very nice of you.
And I'm a semi-retired attorney, but I want to say something. You made one thing. You had a good argument, but you said that all the statistics plus minus, the Knicks were doing worse near the end. But I don't think that meant a lot because Knicks win that first game, mm-hmm. which is a fluke loss.
Yep.
What would you say now? If the Knicks win that first game, you throw out all those point spread differentials, right? Wouldn't you?
Well, no.
The whole argument falls apart.
No, no.
The Knicks win that first game, which is a miracle loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, miracle win for Indiana. The whole thing about the fact that they were plus minus doesn't mean anything anymore.
It doesn't, but Harold, what Evan was specifically talking about in that instance was the plus minus with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns playing together. And their plus minus diminished over the course of the year and especially in the postseason. But if you're going to talk plus minus, it's not about it's about the unit plus minus. And it's come up multiple times on our show because if you looked across all of the postseason, the New York Knicks had one of the worst starting unit plus minuses in all of the playoffs.
Yes.
And it's only an issue because Tom Thibodeau starts the game that way and he ends the game that way. So you're putting your worst unit together in the most critical moments in games. And so you wonder when you go back in this, because we're just talking about it, look at game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe that contributed to it.
Absolutely.
If Mitchell Robinson is on the court and he's a defensive deterrent for whatever, because I know he's a big man and he's a rim protector, but he'll guard around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Let's forget. And Jaylen Brown in game was that? Five? Whatever it was against the Celtics, he D'd him up.
Game
six,
yep.
And took the ball from him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So
could have changed everything.
It could have changed everything just by changing your mindset, Tom Thibodeau. So when we talk about plus minus, it's not a comparison about what this does or whatever. It's just you're not putting yourself in the best situation to have an advantage offensively or defensively when you play these specific units together.
For whatever reason, and we focused on Jaylen and Cap, but you're talking about the original five and it works for them too.
Yep.
For whatever reason, they got worse as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I bring up the plus minus, it's just to back up my point with some numbers as opposed to me just saying it. And hopefully if you've watched them, you agree. It's an eye test thing too. But the numbers back up the fact that the chemistry between Cat and Brunson got worse as the season went on.
Right.
The chemistry of the starting five got worse as the season went on. It wasn't bad at the beginning. They had one of the most efficient offenses in the league in the first month and a half of the season.
Right.
And it got worse as things went on. Now, did they overcome it enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals? Yes.
Right.
But the numbers are still the numbers. The chemistry between the two best players, for whatever reason, and I wish I had like a great theory on the why, but it's gotten worse as right. The season went on, and it leads to the questions of, is this going to get better next year, or do the Knicks have to consider changing things drastically?
Yeah.
And that's the question. Ozzie's in Woodridge. Hey, Oz.
Hello.
Hello.
Tommy is know what I'm referencing here. That other shoe dropped on the Knickerbockers. Like a big old Hogan leg drop. Tommy.
I'm here. I'm here.
You stealing that caller Alex's shtick to mold your Saturday show. That shoe dropped, baby.
Well, I was referencing a caller that we had mm-hmm. on Friday, Alex, who needed a positive Tommy pep talk. So I thought that was a good mm-hmm. point of reference. For the Saturday audience, Ozzie, that might not be the same as the Friday audience.
Well, that's because they're watching baseball or other sports, taking away from your listenership, which is a very, very tricky situation for you there.
Yes.
You don't want anyone to know anything else is going on in the world so that they listen to you.
Well, I've learned that from people that are very successful in the business. And what Ozzie is referencing is that I didn't react to a preseason home run. Plus, Ozzie, I'm always thinking ahead. I'm always playing chess. If I had reacted in a certain kind of way to a Juan Soto preseason home run, that's only ammunition for the law firm of McPherson, McMonagle, and Marash, and I don't want to give them that type of ammo.
He's kind of right about that.
Yeah, his first one ever walking up in front of excited Mets fans.
He was probably excited Floridians that are playing, Pinochle. I don't know if they're actually Mets fans down there.
His first
Floridians.
At-bat in a Met uniform. Come on, buddy.
It was spring training, I should say.
Take the L.
L for not reacting to a spring training home run while doing a radio show? Come on, Oz.
I have... Now, listen. Take the L. You've been taking a lot of L's.
Fair enough.
It's not Tommy in seven here. You kind of lost in six. It's okay.
Yeah. All right.
And,
real trolled.
And I'm going to give you definitive proof on what the entire league, from a reliable source, thinks about Big Kitten. But before I do that, so, Tommy, if you believe that they lost to attrition last year, then they lost to regression this year, and that regression started and ended with acquiring Little Kitty Cat, and you know it. They regressed big time.
Well, they didn't regress, Oz, because obviously they made a round further in the Eastern Conference Finals. But mm-hmm. please get to your other material here on Carl Anthony Towns. I'm very curious what you got.
I call regression when two out of your five starters are sieves on defense, and then you're only as strong as your weakest link, and they have two weak links, and then the entire defensive end is a mess. But Do you guys believe that Stan Van Gundy is a reliable and respected NBA mind and member?
Yeah, I think he drives us nuts sometimes broadcasting, but I have respect for Stan Van Gundy, absolutely.
All right, he summed up big time what people in the NBA think about the Big Kitten.
Go ahead.
In game five, mm-hmm. Him and Reggie were going back and forth, and they were talking about Karl Anthony Towns. They said, wait till he gets the ball. He won't be laboring. All right? That's what Van Gundy says. So Reggie responds.
Go ahead.
So Van Gundy says to Reggie, wait till Karl Anthony gets the ball. He won't be laboring. Me on the offensive end, when he has a chance to get his and his numbers, he'll be fine. There'll be no limp. No signs of that knee injury that people were talking about going into game five. Remember that?
Yeah. I don't remember that, but so Carl, see what you're telling me is, and I'd love to hear this audio. I was at game five, so I didn't hear it. That Stan Van Gundy basically accused Karl Anthony Towns of faking, when he's on defense, he's hurt. When he's on offense, he's great.
Right. Yeah, he did say that. Yeah, that did happen.
How come you guys didn't pull that, Sean?
You know what? In real time listening, it was just one of those things I chuckled at and didn't like register in my mind that it would be good to
play. Was it a chuckle comment though? Like the tone of it matters.
So to set the picture, he's getting off, you know, he got ran into on some kind of foul on the defensive end and he's grabbing the knee and he's doing the limp thing. And Reggie kind of briefly brings up this. Karl Anthony Towns laboring again with that knee and he'll really be laboring when he gets, you know, gets the ball on the other end. And almost instantaneously, Karl Anthony Towns scored a bucket and they all kind of had a laugh about it. It was just, you know, something silly that you laughed at.
It's silly and it's funny, but that's rough.
Yeah.
If true.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
You get it nicked, it hurts. You have instant pain and you like limp it off and then eventually it's fine.
Well, I guess you're right. If it's only in that one instance, then it's no big deal. I think if it's
limping
more
the whole time defensively.
Okay, I guess that's how I took it. Like, when he plays defense, the limp's really bad. Then when he's on offense, I'm fine.
Right.
Look, there is, and this isn't new, there are major questions around this guy's defense. And we saw it all year. We saw the miscommunication. We saw the argument on the bench with him and OG Anunoby. And we even saw the report out of The Athletic from Fred Katz that there were questions certainly from players and coaches about his defense. Now, one interesting thing for Ian Begley, who reports great on the Knicks. Everyone believes Tom Thibodeau is coming back.
Right.
But what Ian's reporting is it hasn't been decided yet.
Right.
And the Knicks are going to have meetings this week and they're going to talk about it. If they decide not to bring him back, the name to keep an eye on, and this one is also very obvious, is Jay Wright. Now, Tommy, you were in love with the Villanova connection. That was like your thing. Would that excite you then if Daddy came home?
You want Dante back and send Cap to Minnesota? Back to Minnesota.
And Jay comes to coach his little children?
That's a little bit too much for me. That's just too much, so I would say no.
The Jay Wright thing is too much for
you? It's a little too much for me. They aired the commercial, though. To start the fourth quarter, they aired the Dante Villanova. Oh! That was a troll. I'm sorry.
Troll? They've been doing it all postseason.
Postseason, they've been doing it since March. And right before the fourth quarter starts, they aired that commercial. And I was like, okay, this entire broadcast is just one big you-know-what at the Knicks fans here. They couldn't have aired that at any other point in the broadcast.
Tommy, this is where I do have to stop you. To be fair to advertisers, they aired that to start the fourth quarter heading into game five, too. And the Knicks rallied and blew them out. So was that a troll job? Or does that sound like a block they paid for advertising to run the commercial?
Okay. You're probably right when you get in the weeds. But when you're watching when you're watching it as a consumer, and a lot of people don't know that, you're thinking, here we go with this commercial again. And I felt like, because Sean, every time the commercial aired, he would text me, Dante commercial. So I think Sean, as a hater, wanted every time for that commercial to sort of be the backdrop and the soundtrack of the Knicks season ending. Am I wrong on that?
Well, because to set the scene, that commercial aired right before the Neesmith 3 barrage started in game one. And I was singing it to Tommy the whole time.
I get you. That commercial affects you. So you don't want Jay Wright?
No,
to
I don't want Jay Wright.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake.
Well, who do you want? If they fire Tibbs, who would you want?
Spo.
You're not kidding, Spo.
What do you mean we're not?
He's the coach of the Heat. Was he leaving? He's walking through the door. Good.
There's like stuff going on down there.
A lot of stuff going on down there.
Well, I agree with you. But by the way, if you can get him, absolutely, I'd agree with you. I just don't think that's a realistic thing. How about Carlisle? Why don't you steal him from Indiana while you're at it? Kidnap him before he leaves.
Nah.
Not bad. One of the most underrated coaches in the league.
Yeah.
The Jay Wright thing is, I thought people would start saying Rick Brunson would be the head coach. I thought people would go that direction.
I was thinking about that the other day.
Yeah, but you know, that,
has he ever been a head coach?
No.
Then why the hell would you do that?
Well, has Jay Wright ever been an NBA head coach?
No, but he's a bona fide superstar, Hall of Fame college coach.
Yeah, so is John Calipari. How'd that work out?
Yeah, but, okay.
I think it's a bad decision. I'm not trying to... Two different people. No, no, but overall, my argument would be it makes me very nervous to hire, yes, a great college coach and expect it's going to translate, because more times than not, it has not translated.
Okay, great. I'm not talking about Jay Wright. I'm talking about Rick Brunson.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I can't tell you that. It starts to get like Little League or whatever when your dad's the coach or whatever. But Wright's got a great TV job. I just don't see him leaving a cushy job like that to take over this team in this town with these expectations.
I always thought Jay Wright had the NBA itch. I'd heard that before, right, that in the right opportunity, he would take one, whether it was with the Sixers, if the right opportunity came, or even the Knicks or the Nets in the right spot. So I disagree. I think he would consider doing it. I just don't like that idea. If I'm the net, I lean towards bringing Tom Thibodeau back, flaws and all. And I spent a lot of time in the postseason ripping him and ripping his rotations, but I probably would just do the conversation of, hey, things need to change. Look at your guy.
Right.
Like, didn't Tom Coughlin, I know it's different because it's more strategic in Tom Thibodeau's case. Didn't Tom Coughlin change?
Yeah, but so, it was different with Tom, with Coughlin than it was with
I know it's so different because one is about, like, literally basketball and the other one's the guy's personality and the way he treats people.
Yes.
But my point is people can change, right?
Yeah,
they can be open to it.
Absolutely they can. I think we're just talking about him. Why am I forgetting his name? Andy Reid is another example, right? I don't know if it was a humbling situation to get pushed out of Philly, but he went to Kansas City and he's a different coach.
Now he's one of the great of all time.
I'm not even talking about that. He's a player-friendly coach.
Right.
And it didn't always feel like that when he was in Philadelphia. While he was a good coach in Philly, never felt like he was always bristling. And part of that was because he was head coach, but also primarily the GM or had the power. And so players felt like, you're going to talk to me this way, as a coach, but you're going to talk to me this way as a GM. It just doesn't mesh all the time. Now, he still kind of is that, but he's got a go-between in Kansas City.
So, tell me if I'm over-exaggerating, Teak, because I don't want to be a hater.
Yes.
I don't want to be a scrub, as some may say.
Nicely done.
Thank you very much. But Derek Jeter is on Fox, and he does the pre and the post.
Yes.
And so, prior to the Dodger-Yankee game on Saturday night, which was an unwatchable mess, obviously the game turned very, very ugly. Will Warren got destroyed. And the Yankees lost 18-2 that featured Pablo Reyes coming into pitch. Prior to the game, Derek Jeter opined about Juan Soto and the Mets.
Why? Was he asked specifically?
Yeah. I mean, that's a story in baseball. Hey, Juan Soto's struggling. What's up with that? You played in New York. And the beginning of what Derek Jeter said, we'll play the whole thing, but the first 5 seconds pisses me off, and it's going to probably piss me off again when we play it. Take a listen. Here's Derek Jeter on Juan Soto and Met fans.
I tell you, all the Met fans are very concerned right now because this is the guy, the big acquisition.
Stop it right now. Don't tell me what we are, bro. All the Met fans are really concerned right now. Who the hell are you speaking to? I wasn't concerned. Licata wasn't concerned. Most Met fans weren't concerned. So I understand that they're just the Mets.
Right, but I think what he says... what he says they're concerned about matters. So you have to let it play.
Oh, you want to listen to the rest of it?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I just wanted to voice what pissed me off. Yeah, what concern?
Okay. I just want to know what he
said. All right, Derek Jeter, the floor is yours, sir.
I tell you, all the Met fans are very concerned right now because this is the guy, the big acquisition, who is single-handedly going to take you to the World Series and help you win a World Series championship. You stole him from the Yankees, right? Is it fair? Absolutely not. But that's the expectations. Look, Juan Soto's going to be there for a long time. We were joking earlier. My two oldest are in first grade and second grade. They'll be finishing college, and Juan Soto will still be playing for the New York Mets. He's going to be there for a long time. He's going to hit. He's going to bounce back because he's just too good of a player.
So why are you annoyed?
Because other than the end in which he says, don't worry, he'll be fine, he really comes across like a condescending bleep.
Really?
Honestly. He does. He comes across
I heard that.
Like a Yankee fan.
But I think you got to hear the whole thing.
I heard the whole thing.
The middle of it is the only thing I have a problem with.
Which part?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That the Mets stole him.
Well, that's my point. Like, that adds to it.
Yeah,
it's so condescending.
He steal him. He just decided to go to the Mets.
But do you hear the tone of how he's describing it? He's a Yankee guy who's like, yeah, you know, the Mets stole him. They thought he was going to lead us to the promised land. Hey, Derek, they were in the NLCS last year. First of all, let's pipe down here.
Also, it's not single-handedly.
Yeah, well, that
baseball is the one sport you cannot single-handedly do.
Single-handedly, Teak, again, the Mets were in the NLCS.
Oh, I agree.
He's talking about them like they're some poor kid on the side of the road and he's looking to save us. It was such a condescending, douchey comment. And I like Derek. I have great respect for Derek. But the comment really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm sure every Met fan who didn't hear this, because they weren't watching the Fox pregame show, they're hearing it now. And you know what they're saying? Evan's right. He comes across douchey.
Yeah.
He just does.
But you also have to realize that Jeets is talking to a national audience. And so he's trying to encapsulate the emotion of some Met fans relative to his previous season with the Yankees. And then the fact that he's going to be fine because he's going to be there forever. And he's too good of a player not to be fine.
Let me tell you something about Derek Jeter. Okay?
I'm just telling you what he's doing.
Oh, I know what he's
doing. You can't assume that the lay fan in Iowa knows what the hell the emotion is of the New York Met fan.
You know
and
what?
So if you're watching this game on Fox, it just you're trying to give some context.
Yeah, here's the problem with what you just said. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I know so little about hitting. Right, Derek Jeter knows a lot more about hitting than I do. What the hell do I know about hitting? Mm-hmm. I couldn't even hit in Little League. I know as much about hitting as Derek Jeter knows about what the effing Met fan thinks. He knows nothing. He doesn't speak to Met fans.
How do you know?
Because that comment tells me he doesn't.
But he was right, Evan.
No, he wasn't.
Evan, your reaction says he was right.
He was right only about the last part that things will work out because he's too great of a player. All Met fans are not concerned about Juan Soto.
A lot of them are.
A lot of them are.
And here, I wouldn't even say a lot. Evan, some of them are.
Here's the truth, though. And this is very deep. And luckily,
one last thing before you continue.
Yeah.
You know what Derek Jeter thinks Met fans are? Just Frank the Tank. And I love Frank, but literally Derek Jeter watches a video of Frank the Tank and says, oh, gee, Met fans, that's who they are. He's one guy. Just like I don't represent Met fans. Just like Tommy doesn't. So Derek Jeter is clueless when he talks about Met fans, and that clip proved it. Now continue.
Okay, Evan, I think what Derek Jeter is channeling here, though, is Frank the Tank is out in the open about it. That's one thing. I do believe, and I think this is what Derek Jeter's saying, a lot of you, whether you want to admit it or not, if Juan Soto came over from the Atlanta Braves for $800 million, you all would have been more open to bashing his beginning of the season and having that slight worry like, oh my God, is this Jason Bay again? I think the idea that he came over from the Yankees, yes, they didn't steal him. They paid the most money to have it. I do think there's an element to Met fans giving Juan Soto a longer leash because they did not want to admit, oh, I'm panicking about something because I'm sitting here living next to the people we got him from. They're going to laugh at me. And I think that a lot of you guys have buried that deep inside because you don't want that to come out because it's really going to give the Yankee fans a good chuckle and you're paranoid about it.
I'm sure because there's millions of Met fans that maybe that's a few people. Like, I'm not going to rule that out.
That's a lot of people.
Okay, maybe it's a lot of people.
The Met fan wanted to be Big Brother so bad that as soon as they got Juan Soto, they claimed to be Big Brother.
Don't listen. But that's the minority of people.
Your IT cough drop?
Yeah.
But that's the minority. Yeah,
I had a Tommy choke on there.
But do you think Tommy represented most Met fans with that kind of BS talk? No offense, Tommy. I don't mean you get the haymakers out of this. He's the minority. He just truly is. Like, you know why I think most Met fans are...
Evan, I got to be honest. I don't know.
You don't know what?
I think a lot of Met fans, even if they didn't believe it, they got joy out of hearing it.
Hearing what?
That they were now the Big Brother.
Oh, come on. It's just some BS that a few people brought up. That's not really most Met fans. Mm-hmm. Don't judge us by our loudest. No, again, no offense, Tommy. You know I love you. I'm not letting that stupid opinion that you happen to have
again,
dictate Met fans. Just like Frank, and I love Frank too. I'm not going to let Frank's negativity define Met fans the way Derek Jeter thinks it does. It's not fair to the rest of us. Just like there's no opinion I have that defines most Met fans. I never claim that. So let's not judge us based on our worst, like Tommy and Frank. Well,
I'm in good company with Frank. Jeter's totally projecting, and this is just another example of Yankee propaganda from a Yankee mouthpiece. That's all this is. They stole him. All Met fans are feeling this way.
He's kind of right.
It is the narrative from, we know where it's from, to spin this and make the narrative that Juan Soto's not happy, the Mets are fools, they overspent, the guy isn't, you know, worth the contract, and all Met fans are now in a panic. So whether he's watching either a Frank the Tank video, I just think it's more of this is the Yankee propaganda.
It came across that way.
But you don't think that Derek Jeter, in all his years as a Yankee, knows Met fans or Met executives or Met whoever?
Tiki.
And he has conversations with him?
Tiki.
In a professional capacity?
Yeah.
Now as a broadcaster as opposed to the opposing team member in the city?
You know how Derek Jeter views the Mets?
How do you know this?
I know this.
How do you know Derek Jeter doesn't sit and have conversations with the
because
Mets?
Because he told us he views the Mets as they're just the Mets. Those are his words, not mine. That's how
he
views
them that?
On his documentary that he freaking handpicked.
When was that?
It was a few years ago.
A few years ago. Was he broadcasting on Fox at that point?
I don't know the timing on that. I can't answer that.
I don't think so. Probably not.
It was right around the same time.
Probably not. It was probably filmed a year and a half.
You know how we view the Mets? They're just the Mets. Mm. That's him.
So you were looking at Derek Jeter when he made that comment a couple years ago.
When the Mets were just the Mets.
Right.
I'm not going to let a Yankee tell me how I feel.
So you don't think of channeling that stuff?
Back then, the Mets were just the Mets.
Of course they were.
Right.
They were in the World Series. In 2000, that's what he was referring to. He was referring to the World Series and said, when we played the Mets, it was just the Mets. That's how he referred to it.
Yes.
Okay.
And how many other World Series appearances did you make?
One more in 2015. Look, my point is those comments are out of touch. Mm. They're wrong, and they don't represent Mets fans.
So you believe that somebody who's not a Mets fan who makes those comments telling everybody how Mets fans feel are out of touch? What were the words you just used? Just send them up.
I don't remember. Well, no, what is this going to be said?
All right, out of touch, out of line. Somebody doesn't know what they're talking about. So would you also say that when a certain radio host who's not a Yankee fan makes the comment saying, Yankee fans scared of the Astros in 2024, oh, you can't tell me. You know how Yankee fans feel. You know Yankee fans are telling you that's not how they feel. Would you say that's out of touch and out of line?
I would argue that I have a better feeling for Yankee fans than Derek Jeter will ever have for Met fans. Huh. He lives in his ivory tower. He doesn't watch baseball every day. Huh. He doesn't live it the way we do as talk show hosts.
You don't know that that's true. So Evan Roberts watches more baseball than Derek Jeter, is that what you're saying?
Tommy Lugauer watches more baseball than Derek Jeter.
I guarantee you.
Tiki Barber watches more baseball than Derek Jeter.
How do you know that? Because you don't think Derek Jeter lives and breathes baseball?
Stop it. Stop, Sean. Now you're turning into this fictitious argument that Derek Jeter has the baseball package. He doesn't.
Are
he doesn't
you kidding
care.
Me? The guy grew up. He grew up a fan. You don't think he loves baseball?
SK Rod. SK Rod about that. He'll tell you.
I don't have an NFL package, but I watch a hell of a lot of football.
It's different.
Why?
Because the NFL has football on all the time. Derek Jeter's not watching baseball. You think he's watching SNY? He's watched one Met game this year. It was Soto's return, Mets-Yankees. That's the only game he's watched.
Now I know how I come across. Evan's in a corner.
I'm not in a corner. Yeah,
and he's biting to get out of it.
Yeah, he's finished.
He's fighting. He's scrapping.
I stand by everything I said. He's clueless.
Derek Jeter watches baseball.
No, he doesn't. He already admitted it.
I guarantee you.
Remember him and A-Rod? A-Rod was perturbed that he went over Derek's house and he didn't have the baseball package. Remember that story?
When was that?
That was like 25 years ago.
Okay, who cares? When I was playing football, guess what? I wasn't watching football. I didn't give a crap unless I was playing you the next week.
Now you watch football a lot.
I watch every damn game.
That's true. I stand by the fact that Derek Jeter's comments were out of touch. Mm. And shockingly, the Met fan agrees with me, Tommy. And the two Yankee fans think I'm crazy and tried to paint me into a corner. Mm. I disagree with you. I think those comments are obvious. He's telling us what we think. He doesn't know what we think. And I'm offended mostly by what Sean said. Like, I live and breathe this every day. I have a much better idea what Yankee fans think than Derek Jeter will ever have about the Mets.
And yet, I'm a Yankee fan working with you every day telling you Yankee fans don't feel that way, and I didn't feel that way, and you told me I was wrong as a Yankee fan.
You know what the difference
is? Telling you the same thing.
Here's the difference. I would hope that you could respectfully disagree with me. I don't respectfully disagree with Derek Jeter. I don't think he has a clue what he's talking about, quite frankly. And I have no reason to believe otherwise. Derek Jeter's put no pelts on the wall in terms of watching baseball or giving fair analysis. He's a Yankee legend who they popped on Fox. That's all he is. Again, I respect him as a baseball player. I think he's a legend. I think he's wonderful. As a baseball analyst, give me a freaking break. Honestly. And that analysis only proves it. He's telling me, he's telling Met fans how worried we are. He has no idea. Zero idea how worried we are.
If you weren't worried, you wouldn't be this angry at
I'm not right. worried. Well, I've been worried all year.
How worried are you?
I'm not. Are you worried? So there is, I've been looking for this clip for years. There's a clip of Joe B in the overnights mm-hmm. with this caller, and I don't think he's around anymore. His name is Don from Eastport. Are we really done with SNY already?
Yes, we are.
Goodbye, SNY. The rest of this story will be on WFAN. But coming up next is Baseball Night in New York, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealer.
Do
coming
you really
up next.
Need that? Sheet of paper to say brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealer right here on this. Like, seriously.
I've
never said it, and I know it.
How about this? Starting today or starting tomorrow, you're the one who says it.
Okay, perfect.
And you'll be the one who says, Evan, time out. I'll shut my mouth no matter what I'm saying, and you'll do it.
Give me a 30-second, Evan.
Yeah, right.
Goodbye, SNY. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next. Brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealer.
When you said, are you worried, it reminds me of a famous clip from the FAN overnights that I am looking for under good reception. So the Yankees had just blown the 3-0 lead. It's now 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're going into Game 7. Joe's doing the overnight. And there's a caller named Don in Eastport, who I was honored to get to talk to as well in the overnights. And Don was this very calm guy. He'd be like, hi, Joe. How are you? Hi, Evan. How are you? I want to talk about the Yankees. So he calls in, and he was actually kind of mad at Joe, because Joe was like, Yankee fans are worried about this Game 7. Kind of like the whole worry discussion.
Yeah.
And Don's like, I'm not worried, Joe. I feel good. Game 7, I feel good. And Joe's like, Donnie, I think you're worried, bro. And he egged him on to where Don lost his mind. This calm caller was like, I'm not worried, Joe. I'm not worried, Joe. I'm not worried. And he hangs up on him. And Joe's
Don
like,
hangs up?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And Joe's like, wow. I mean, gee, bro, I knew he was worried. So when you asked me, are you worried, Evan? Are you worried, Evan? I was about to Don and East for you. I'm not worried.
I'm not worried.
I'm not worried, Dinky. I'm not worried. And the reason I'm not worried is because of Francisco Lindor. Because
it's game 60 right now.
That too. And all the other guys that came here and struggled at first. It's not a new thing. And I try to keep his history with the Yankees out of my thoughts. It doesn't really factor in when I think about, well, why are you laughing at me?
Because you're so full of it.
Am I?
It doesn't factor in. You can't stand the guy.
Who?
Derek Jeter.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Soto. Like, I don't factor in his past with the Yankees when I'm evaluating him as a player. You're not
evaluating him as a player. When evaluating when you're going to rip him as a player, that definitely factors
in. Well, I think I have ripped him. He hasn't performed well enough. He's been terrible with runners in scoring position. Like, I'm ripping him. I'm just not worried about him. Those two things can be different.
Just the cherry on top. You have lived in a universe with failed mercenary stars on several teams.
That's true.
You have.
Yes.
You have, at many points, delayed a response in killing them. I truly believe in your heart of hearts, this will be the longest leash you give any one of those stars because you don't want to let Yankee fans know, man, maybe we're going to regret this.
No, I think it would be more because he's going to be here for 15 years.
Okay. A little different than Aaron Rodgers, 2 years.
I think it's a great question. I think a part of it is how you felt about the move to begin with. So when it comes to mercenaries, you know the first mercenary I turned on? One of my hottest but smartest takes I ever had.
Kyrie?
James Harden.
Oh, Harden.
I wanted Kyrie. I mean, I wanted Durant, but I turned on him very quickly, and I remember saying,
why?
This has... What was the reason?
Wasn't he hurt?
No, it wasn't with the injury. I think I just had a feeling in year two that his commitment level wasn't fully there.
He's fat!
Yeah. And I compared him to Deron Williams very early. And I took a lot of flack from Net fans. Like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? And ultimately, it turned out to be one of my most accurate takes ever. I mean, it's far worse than Deron Williams. I think we'd admit that now. And I think the reason I turned on James as quickly as I did is because I never really wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Tommy could testify because that's where the fat, fat, fat dribble, dribble, dribble comes from. I didn't want the guy. And so I think when you have a bias towards wanting someone or not wanting someone, that will impact how quickly you turn. Obviously, we all wanted Juan Soto. I certainly did. So it would probably take longer for me to turn on him than it would for a player that I did not want. You know what I mean?
I understand
Does that make sense?
I do understand that. I still think you're full of it, but I do understand.
Okay. Like, a great example is if the Nets get Giannis. It'll take me a week before I turn on.
Because you don't want him. Like, you want him, but you don't really want him.
Yeah, I think I'm in the middle. I probably don't want him. Plus, I don't like him. I don't like him from his history. So it would probably take me a day. He'd give the wrong answer at a press conference, and I'd say, I'm done with this guy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.